Hello, Twins fans. This is John Swole with yet another interview with a player from the Twins' wonderful past. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with former Twins closer Bill Soup Campbell, who pitched in Minnesota from 1973 through 1976. Bill was the first ever winner of the Rolaids Relief Man Award and is the only pitcher in Major League Baseball history to win 17 games and save 20 games in the same season. Let's see what Bill has to say. Bill, first of all, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. You were born in Highland Park, Michigan, but I think you grew up in California. Was baseball your favorite sport growing up?
I guess one of them. I was actually, I think at the time, in high school, I was probably a better basketball player than a baseball player.
Is that right? What did you do after you graduated from high school?
Well, I went to a junior college out there, and that's actually where I started pitching, was in a junior college, because I think I played my senior in high school. I think I played six games in the outfield. That was about it. So when I got this junior college, I asked the coach if I could try pitching, and I always, because I always played third base or the outfield, and he had a strong arm, so he said, yeah, sure, and fortunately for me, he was a very good coach, a very good pitching coach, so that's kind of where I actually started pitching.
Did you end up in the military after that, or some before you started your baseball career?
Yeah, I kind of dropped out to get some money to go to four-year school, and I get back in time, and Uncle Sam got me, so I got drafted, spent some time in service, spent some time on Vietnam, and got back, and that's kind of when I started playing ball again, just around a college ball league out there in California, around Long Beach. That's when I started playing ball again. Just happened to be seen by a twin scout out there, and just things went from there. It was kind of a fluke. It wasn't the normal, you know, being a high school star, college star, getting into the baseball ranks.
Yeah. Were you in the Army?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate your service. What years were you in the Army?
69, 70, 68, 69.
Okay. I was in the...
12, 70. I got out in 70, man.
And you were... I understand that, from what I've been able to determine, you're the only Twins player to ever have had actual military combat experience.
It could be. I think there are actually, if I remember right, somebody told me there were only four of us, Jim Bibby, Al Bunbury, Gary Maddox, I think myself, that were actually in Vietnam, I guess. There might have been others, but that's the only ones I know about.
Since today is, or yesterday was Veterans Day, I like, and we'd all like to thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.
You ended up signing with the Twins in September of 1970 as an amateur free agent. What were the circumstances of your signing with Minnesota? You weren't drafted?
No, I was, like I said, I just got out, so I was just playing ball on the weekends around Long Beach, and I remember going down there, a friend of mine said, hey, he said, I've seen the pitch before, he said, hey, we need this one team, I know of, he said, we need some pitching, and he said, heck, I've seen some of these guys have already signed, and are playing with teams, he said, they're just out there for kids to practice, and then college kids, just so scouts can come by and see him. He said, heck, he said, I've seen your pitch. He said, teacher was good as him. Some of these guys are fine. So I just went down there and I started playing for this team, and the guy happened to be a bird dog scout for the Dodgers that was running the team. So I started playing. Actually, he had asked me if he'd seen me pitch a couple weeks before. He came up to me and said, hey, I'm going want to go? I said, well, heck yeah, go to Vegas and play some baseball. Okay. Sure. So did that, and I started pitching for him on Sundays, and he asked me if, you know, wondering why I was there, and I told him about the situation, just getting out of the Army, and he says, are you interested in playing pro ball? I said, yeah, I just kind of got interrupted a little bit. So he said, all right, well, let me talk to some people in the Dodger organization. So I think they had Don Newcomb and head scout for the Dodgers come out and block me. And I had a good outing and everything, but I saw this guy walking back. He's kind of shaking his head. He said, well, he says, I guess they weren't all that interested. He said something about, yeah, I didn't have a very good move or something at first base. But I think what it was, they were Dodgers at that time were signing a lot of young kids, and I didn't really have a history of success in high school or college, and I was a little bit older and everything. So he said, heck with him. He said, stick with me. He says, we see about, you know, I've got 26 other teams might be able to sign you. So I think it was 2 weeks later, we were playing against the Twins Rookie Club, and I threw a no-hitter. It just so happened that the head scout for the Twins on the West Coast was sitting in the stands. So he followed me. He said, I want to follow you one more time. And then I think it was 2 weeks later, we met at Denny's, and I signed my contract over at Malton Cheeseburger, $1,000.
that's kind of a
fluke and kind of a roundabout way to get there, but it worked.
That's right. That's a great story. You ended up spending 1971 in A-ball, and in 72 you were in Double-A, and you started the 73 season with Triple-A Tacoma, where you were 10-5 when you got the call to join the big league club. How did you find out that you were headed for the major leagues?
Well, we were in Salt Lake City at the time, and I just pitched the night before. And so the next day, I had some friends in town, so I went out with them during the day, and I said, well, I got to be back at a certain time because I was leaving for the ballpark and everything. So I get back about 20 minutes before the bus is getting ready to leave for the ballpark, and a bunch of the guys are standing outside, and they came up to me and said, hey, Kirby wants to see you. Kirby Farrell was our manager at the time. And so I came up there, and he said, yeah. He said, we got Charles Sedge, you're going up to the big league. So I got called up on Friday the 13th. So I got there too late to get that game, but they gave me the game the very next day.
Yeah, you made your major league debut on July the 14th at Met Stadium against the Indians. I think you pitched one inning of relief of Jim Cott, and you allowed only one hit, no runs, struck out a couple guys. How do you remember your first big league game?
Well, they didn't get nervous because I was just sitting around bullpen around the 8th inning. They called out and said, hey, get up, you're going to the 9th inning. I think we were losing like 4-0 or something like that. So I just got up, got loose, and got the game. I wasn't even nervous about that. I think the biggest adjustment was, because I started all the time in the minor league, so the biggest adjustment was learning how to warm up the right way being a reliever.
Yeah. Once you arrived in the big leagues, you never went back to the minors. And in your 2.5 years in the minors, you were always a starter, I think, except for one game. But the Twins had you in the bullpen. What did you think about pitching in relief versus starting?
I liked it because I was kind of a frustrated outfielder. Third baseman, I always wanted to play all the time. And I liked starting because of the way you had to go about facing hitters like the third or fourth time and making adjustments, stuff like that. But I didn't like the fact of having to wait 4 days to get back in the game. So once actually put me in the bullpen, I liked it because you had a chance just about every day to get a chance to pitch when you came to the ballpark, especially back in those days where they didn't have pitch counts or they didn't have how many times you pitched in a row and stuff like that. So it wasn't uncommon to be able to pitch 4 or 5 days in a row sometimes.
You were known for throwing the screwball. What other pitches did you throw?
Fastball, curveball, and screwball. Screwball became a big pitch for me because, like I said, the coach at the junior college taught me how to throw it.
When do you think the screwball has seemingly disappeared from the baseball scene?
Well, I think there's quite a few. You see a lot of left-handers do. Left-handers just seem to have that kind of natural delivery, and where they get balls tailing away from right-handers, so there's quite a few of them. I think that throw screwballs. That when I was throwing it, I think it was myself and only Mike Marshall that threw right-handers that threw a screwball. It's a pitch I coached in my leagues for a while. It's a pitch now I try to teach a couple guys because you got to have kind of the right arm angle, and you got to watch it. Some of these kids, if they don't know, throw up, they're trying to snap it, so just kind of roll everything. So it's a pitch you kind of got to watch out for if you don't know what you're doing.
I'd say. You had some very nice seasons in 74 and 75, but in 1976 you had an unbelievable year under manager Gene Mock, where you went 17-5 and you had 20 saves in 78 games, and you pitched over 167 innings for a team that won 85 games. You ended up 7th in the Cy Young voting and 8th in the MVP voting. What do you remember about that season?
Well, all I remember is Gene Mock came over in 76, and he came up to me in spring training and said, he just told me, he said, you're going to be my closer, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I had closed in 74 and 75. I had tweaked my arm just a little bit in spring training, and it took me a while to come around, and they had me start a few games. I think I started 7 games or something like that. But it was starting to come around toward the end of the year, and when Gene took over, he said, yeah, he said, you're going to be my closer. And usually happens, you know, you start out, you come in the ninth inning, maybe the first month of the season, or the second month, it seemed like coming in the eighth inning, and later on it was quite a few, wasn't unusual to get 3 inning saves back in those days, and so that's how the innings start piling up. And like I said, they didn't really keep track of, I think, your appearances so much, or how many times you warmed up, so that's how the innings start piling up, and obviously, you're pitching a lot. You're pitching on extra innings, and if you're doing the job, and we had a pretty good hitting team, so it seemed like I'd get the game, and you know, we'd score a run or two, and cook up a W.
Yeah, 17 wins out of relief is amazing. According to the Sporting News, you made $23,000 in 1976, and after the 76 season, you were declared a free agent. What do you remember about that, and what were your feelings about free agency and leaving the only organization you had ever known when you became, I think, the first free agent to sign with another team when you signed a 4-year deal with the Red Sox for $1 million?
Well, when it happened, after the 75 season, I went down to Venezuela to play winter ball because I think I had 120 innings there, and plus back in those days you could get an off-season job and make some money. So I went down there and I pitched quite a bit. And I remember my contract came in the mail around December sometime when I was down there. My stepdad calls back and said, he got your contract. I said, I'll open it up and see what it says. I know it's the same. The same as I'd gotten the year before. I didn't expect a raise because I didn't get that much of one in 74 after I had 19 saves. So that was, you know, back in the days of Calvin Griffin, and he was well known to be a little tight with the money.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, well, just cross it off and put this number in there. I think I asked for $28,000 or something like that. And so naturally it comes back a few weeks later and, you know, says, well, we can't possibly pay you that kind of money and, you know, sign your contract and all that. So I told him, I said, no, just cross it out for $28,000 again. So that's that later on that what they end up doing back then. They just went ahead and signed your contract for you because I refused to sign it because we had known about this thing called free agency. What was going to, you know, we weren't sure what was going to happen, but I think that's the way, what the heck was it? I think they were late getting the contract to somebody. I think it was Catfish Hunter or something.
Right.
But anyway, so 76 season starts, and like I said, because of we had some talks with St. Louis. You supposedly couldn't talk money or anything, but you could talk, I think, you know, just about the club and maybe a length of contract or something like that. Because a year before, I always loved Boston. My first road trip in the big leagues was to Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium, so you got to be impressed by the history of those two cities and teams. So I figured, I kind of thought, okay, during the free agent draft, I'm going to go to St. Louis, but then Boston had picked me number one, so I was real surprised because of that situation the year before where Finley had sold, I guess, Fingers and Rudy to Boston. Or somebody, I can't remember all the players involved, but so I just figured, okay, well, Boston's going to go after Fingers again because he was a free agent, but they made me the number one pick, so I was real surprised.
Did you feel a lot of pressure pitching under that big contract that first year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that was something that was, you know, unprecedented. And I think you go, anytime you switch teams, you have a tendency to try to do a little too much. You know, you want to make sure you fit in with all your teammates. And obviously, you know, I'm trying to do more than I can normally do, and so it took me a while to adjust. And I don't know what had happened. I did have a bit of a mechanical flaw, and I figured it out after about a month, but I got off to a horrendous start with Boston. I mean, they were throwing stuff at me. They had thrown beer at my wife in the stands and stuff. It was brutal. So finally, things got turned around, and it worked out okay the rest of the year.
You ended up pitching for the Red Sox from 77 through 81, and then you went on to the Cubs in 82 and 83 before they traded you to the Phillies in 84, and then in 85 you were traded to the Cardinals, where in your 13th season in the big leagues you finally made the playoffs in the World Series. Tell us what that was like, if you would.
Well, that's making a, I mean, that's what you play for, is to get into that postseason, and that was very exciting. That was a great team to be with, the Cardinals. It was just we had speed, we had defense, just an incredible team. Came up a little short, unfortunately, in the World Series. It would have really been nice to have Vince Coleman in that World Series. Unfortunately, he got hurt just before the series. I think it could have been a big difference, that's for sure. But it's just a great feeling to get a chance to play in that, you know, after you've been, you know, since your junior childhood playing baseball. You think about getting in the World Series and pitching the World Series, stuff like that. So that's quite a thrill.
What does the World Series ring mean to you?
Well, it just means the accumulation of a lot of years, a lot of hard work, and getting a chance to help a team get to the big prize. So it's mostly, well, actually, we get a nationally pennant ring now. They certainly won it nationally, but came up a little short for the World Series ring.
Now, that must have been pretty cool pitching the series, though. You ended up spending... You ended up spending 1986 with the Tigers, and in 87 you started the season with your seventh big league team, the Expos, but on May 1st they released you, and at the age of 38 and 15 big league years in your career, it kind of came to an end. Was there an injury, or was it just wear and tear of 700 big league games and almost 1,300 innings that caused you to walk away from the game?
Yeah, I had ended up getting a bone spur, some chips in my elbow. I heard it like the second or third game I was with Detroit in 86, so I was down the ball good too. But so I pitched the rest of the year, and it just took a long time to warm up and try to pitch through all the pain and everything. In the off season, I had surgery to have the chips removed and spur taken out. And I didn't really get a chance to pitch very much in the off season, so I actually went down to Florida, knocking on doors, trying to get a job and land a one with the Expos. But pictures, your fastball is about 2 feet shorter, but still, that was a lot of fun. I was actually throwing the ball well down there, real well. But I was a lot older by then, so nobody was going to take a shot at me.
And that was going to be my next question, was the Senior Professional Baseball Association, and that kind of folded after two seasons, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, actually, my first year was with a bunch of ex-Red Sox guys in Winter Haven, and my next year was out in Sun City, and in Arizona, in fact, my family was with me, and we went to visit a friend of ours up in Santa Fe for Christmas, and on the way back, I listened to the radio, and we just heard, yeah, the senior league just folded, so put my family back on a plane, I drove back home.
That's too bad. In those 700 big league games, you started just nine times. All of them were in a Twins uniform, and one of those games was a complete game 8-0 shutout on the 4th of July against the Rangers at Met Stadium. Is that on your list of career highlights?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Getting one shutout, you know, I had nine starts.
Yeah.
I think I had a couple complete games and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was nice. Like I said, they were trying to get me a lot of innings, and we were down a starter or two or something like that, so they had me start a few games back in those days. So, yeah, I liked it, but I liked relieving better.
In 1999, you spent some time coaching for the Brewers, but you left the game after that. What have you been doing since then?
Well, actually, in 2000, I joined the Cardinals organization. I coached 3 years with the Cardinals until 2002, and I retired. So, after 31 years of playing and coaching, got kind of tired of the travel and everything, so it was nice to be around home, and I watched my son play a little bit, I love the game, and I love coaching, I love teaching, that was a lot of fun, but just too much travel.
Yeah. When you first came up to the big leagues, teams had four starters, nowadays teams have five, and some even have gone to a six-man rotation for periods of time. Pitch counts are mandatory. Closers seldom pitch more than an inning. What do you think about the state of big league pitching in baseball today?
Well, I guess maybe back in when I pitched, if they would have had that, I might have been able to eke out a couple more years. I mean, yeah, you get these guys might get 70 appearances, but they only get, you know, especially a left-hander, they might get 70 appearances and have 50 innings.
Yep.
You can last a long time doing that. I talked to, I run into Gossage once in a while. I talked to Fingers before, you know, you get 65 appearances back then, but you might have 95, 100, 110 innings.
Sure.
So it's a little bit different. It's a little more wear and tear on our plus back then. They didn't really monitor the warm-ups, which is a big part, because there's many times you warm up. You might warm up two or three times a game, too, some of these guys. Nowadays, they kind of monitor that, too. I mean, which is good. It's good. They should lengthen these guys' careers. You keep them stronger. I just feel sometimes I got cringe when I listen to some of these sportscasters that are calling the game or something. Well, this, you know, Jesus is, he pitched an inning yesterday, or an inning and a third yesterday, and they're going to have him pitch again another inning today. You know, it's like, you know, they're killing the guy.
Yeah, that.
These guys now are supposed to be bigger and stronger, and their training methods are more advanced. Nutrition experts on teams, they have all this. I mean, geez, you got some big horse out there at 6'5", about 230. I think you can handle a couple days in a row without being tired.
And they don't pitch in the winter, most of them. They don't need to, you know, have another job or earn extra money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're talking about, guys, back in my days, you did that. You had to have another job. A lot of guys played winter ball. They played 3, 4, 5 years and winter ball all the time, too.
Who is your favorite manager? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Who is your favorite manager and why?
I guess we're 20 years old. I mean, obviously we had a very good team, and probably a little bit easier to manage a very good team, but just the same, just to have to manage people, try to keep everybody happy. And I think Wadi did a good job doing that, and all the like, so-called utility guys pretty much, you know, got a chance to play, stay sharp, used everybody, and him and my pitching coach, they used the bullpen very well. It was one of the first times that I actually remember not having to pitch. Maybe I did it maybe two, maybe three times the whole year, been pitching in three games in a row. So we always flip-flop guys, and on that team we had, they kind of coined that phrase, bullpen by committee, because they had lost Suter the year before. And so, come to the ballpark one day, you might be the long guy, and one day you might be the closer, you never know.
Arbitration and free agency are huge components in baseball today. Since you were one of the first free agents in baseball history, what do you think about baseball salaries of today?
I'm sorry, the baseball what?
Baseball salaries that are being paid today.
Oh. Yeah, well, it's, they haven't changed much. The owners haven't changed much. They pretty much still shoot themselves on foot. I mean, same thing they did back in those days when free agency came about. Actually, arbitration was the thing that killed them. Because that raised the base salary quite a bit. The guy, after 3 years, you just compare your year with another guy that had 3 years in, and the salaries, you know, your base salaries start going up. And by the time you reach free agency, you're already making quite a bit. And they had owners like Ted Turner and Steinbrenner, kind of big egos there. They're trying to outdo each other, bidding for free agents, and that drives the price up. And they're still doing it. The prime example was they never had to pay A-Rod the money they paid him. It was just like that owner went nuts and said, okay, I'll just make sure I get him, pay him this unbelievable, whatever it was, $250 million over 10 years. And now you got this standard out there that everybody goes by, and they say, well, he had, you know, he had this kind of year, and he made this, and I had the same kind of year, so I should make this. And they keep getting bigger and bigger TV contracts, and the salaries keep going up and up.
Yeah, they do. You participate in the Twins Fantasy Camp, who's run by a good friend of mine, Stan Dickman. For those of us that have never participated in one of these camps but wish we could, can you tell us what it's like?
Oh, it's great. I have much fun as a camper, too. It's always great because you get a chance to go down there and see some of the guys you played with. I mean, Tony Lee was down there, and I had a chance to play with Tony. And I meet some of the newer guys, newer Twins. Herbeck was down there. Rick Aguilera was down there last year. Jim Wagner. So these guys that I didn't play with, but generally they're baseball players, so it's fun to go and hang with those guys and listen to some of their stories. But it's just fun watching them. I don't know if sometimes you can term it baseball the way some of the campers play. it's fun. They have a great time, and they just run into so many unique people from all walks of life. But Stan, I think, started also the Wounded Warriors program, so we always have a Wounded Warrior usually on each team.
Mm-hmm.
With having served and been in the service and everything, I have a little something in common with them also. But no, they're a lot of fun. I've done about a few, six or seven of the Twins. I think I've done 13 or 14 at least at the Red Sox, the fantasy camps. And for me, it's a great time to get out of Chicago in the winter. Plus, let's get a chance to go down there and spoof around with those people.
Yeah. One final question for you, Bill. Looking back on your time as a Minnesota Twin, do you have a favorite memory?
Well, obviously the first day you called up. I remember, like I said, I didn't get in until later on Friday. But on Saturday, get to the ballpark, get the uniform on. And the first time walking out in the field as a big league ball player, it's just an unbelievable feeling. I think I just went out right field and stood by myself, just shaking fly balls.